is Stargrove! I want Stargrove!
With that music behind me, I just feel like Richard Roundtree strutting down the sidewalk.
In Shaft?
Can you dig it?
I can dig it.
Either him or Richard Dawson.
Shut your mouth.
Okay.
Well, Richard Dawson is basically the white man's Richard Roundtree, isn't he?
I would think so, too. I was just thinking that.
They're basically the same character.
They are. But we are neither of those individuals.
No, we are not.
We're two guys in terry cloth that are out to save the world.
Or at least the pop culture world, anyway.
And that's the only world that matters, as far as I'm concerned, so.
Yeah, so you've tuned into Romper Ruminations, and you are?
Kevin Machino, and you are?
Leo Antonelli.
Well, it's great to be here.
It is. This is the first episode, really.
It's the first real episode.
The first real episode.
In Studio 8.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good one, I think, to launch a meaty one. It's a meaty one.
Much like the subject itself.
Right.
Or the late subject itself.
The late great.
I guess she wasn't meaty.
She wasn't meaty because of all the drugs took their toll.
Yeah.
Took the meat off her bones.
Yeah. But she still had a great rock star look.
So. Yeah. And there's a bit of Canadian content in this episode, which is always nice. This is all going to be about the Vanity 6 banknote.
That commemorative banknote.
Which was introduced in 2017 by the Bank of Canada. It was about a year after Vanity died.
Mm-hmm.
She died in 2016 at the tender age of 57.
Wow. That's not so tender.
No, it's a... I know, but it's not so old either. I'm 57 now.
Well, you're tender.
Tender. Love me tender, Vanity. Yeah, so the government decided to honor Vanity with the Vanity 6 banknote. And
what a banknote it is.
It's gorgeous. You can see it on our website, both sides of it. But I think the idea was for the government was going to replace the $5 bill.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even the toonie and the loonie because of inflation.
Rampant inflation.
And they thought, while we're doing that, let's honor the late Denise Matthews, a.k.a. Vanity.
This doesn't happen very much.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, we got that Norma Desmond $10 bill, right?
You mean Viola Desmond.
Oh,
Norma Desmond was
sorry.
In Sunset Boulevard.
Oops. Well... I guess it's the banknotes that got small.
I'm still big. It's the pictures that got small.
But this is the
Viola Desmond is a vertical.
That was a vertical.
This is horizontal, which is, I think, the way Vanity would have wanted it.
I think that's appropriate.
I think she spent a lot of her life horizontal.
So we stuck with that format.
Yeah, it's appropriate for her to spend a lot of her death same way.
Horizontally?
In that same position, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
You don't want to go vertical with Vanity.
Agreed.
You want to go horizontal, I think.
There's only one way to go, and that's horizontally.
They tried this, and it was kind of a failed experiment.
It didn't take off, but looking at it, I can't figure out why, because it's spectacular.
It's purple, I mean, of course.
It's truly spectacular.
It's colorful.
Even by Canadian standards,
mm-hmm.
Canadian money standards, this is one colorful bill.
Damn it, right.
There's a lot going on.
There is. But before we get into that, maybe we should have a little background on Vanity herself, who
mm-hmm.
she was.
The pride of Niagara Falls.
Yeah, born in 1959.
Yeah.
Good year.
Great year.
The year.
For Cadillacs, too.
And superstars.
And me.
Yeah, Vanity, yeah. Kevin Machino.
Yeah. Internet superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Or budding.
Budding. She was born in Niagara Falls, Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
And born as Denise Matthews.
Denise Matthews.
As I mentioned earlier before. She wanted to be an actress at first.
I think that was the big thing. And so her identity took some different turns.
It took a different trajectory, and that path kind of changed, I would say, in 1982.
Oh, well, it would take perhaps its most abrupt turn in 1982, the American Music Awards, right? Mm-hmm. January.
And
who should she meet?
Well, her date was...
Yes, let's back up.
Who took her to the awards?
I think it was Rick James.
Rick James, Mr. Rick James, who...
Bitch. Sorry.
Also had a Canadian connection, right? Because he's from Buffalo originally.
Right? Yeah, but he came up here a lot to dodge the draft.
Yeah.
Apparently.
I think he ended up in a band with Neil Young for a little while in Toronto.
Maybe the Minor Birds or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. So he thought, let's take Vanity to the AMAs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what a mistake that was.
Yeah, because, she arrived with Rick James, but she left with...
Prince.
Rogers Nelson?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Full name? Yeah, so that was one of those moments in history where, one moment changes everything.
Well, talk about a trade-up.
Is it a trade-up, or is it... did it send her on a wayward path?
Was it the kiss of death? More on that later.
Mm-hmm. But I think, we hated to see what happened to Vanity later on in her life. And we love Prince, but we kind of blamed him a little bit. He didn't treat her very well. Mm-hmm. And I almost wish...
A lot of control.
Yeah.
Controlling.
Yeah. I almost wish as a 15-year-old boy I had gone back in time to the AMAs and said, come with me if you want to live.
Oh, boy.
And then taken her.
Do you think that might have worked out?
Yeah, she would have
come with me if you want a nice, cushy suburban life.
Quiet suburban life.
Merchandising.
Mm-hmm. Where your
various
kidneys would be operating properly.
Paraphernalia. Yeah.
I mean,
her kidneys would be okay, although she'd still be ingesting a lot of alcohol, so it's questionable.
So she goes home with Prince. And Prince, this is around the same time as he's getting ready for Purple Rain, right?
Yeah. So, well, actually, at those AMAs, mm-hmm. Wasn't that where Prince sort of christened her with her new name? I mean,
right.
Up to that point, she was either Denise Matthews or Dee Dee Winters.
Dee Dee Winters, some credits, yeah.
But this was really pivotal because he said...
Thou shalt be known as Vanity from here on in.
Yeah. And I guess it did stick.
Yeah.
For quite a while.
Appropriate for her.
Yeah.
I mean, she liked the name, I think.
Oh, she took on the
persona. Yeah.
The lifestyle, the everything.
And he created this, girl group called Vanity Six.
Right.
Where Vanity was front and center. And did he want, what's the connection to Purple Rain there? Did he want her to be...
I'm convinced that he wanted her in that female lead that was...
You mean the Apollonia role?
Yeah.
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 Wow.
So...
That would have been a different movie.
Wow.
A better movie, I think.
I think history would have been changed.
Yeah.
I think the world would have been changed.
Well, there's the scene... isn't there a scene with Apollonia swimming or something? Or...
Oh, yeah. The skinny dip scene in the frigid waters of Lake Titicaca.
No, is that in Bolivia? I think
it's not in Minneapolis.
No, unless unless he renamed that lake.
Oh well, maybe it was a lake that sounded like that.
Yeah,
it was something different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so he creates this group, Vanity Six, and the weird thing about Vanity Six, there are three women in Vanity Six.
Yes,
and I don't understand why it was called Vanity Six when there were three members. Can you shed some light on that?
I read something.
Okay.
And I don't know how much stock we can put in this, but
it doesn't really matter.
It's quite a simple equation. Three women equals six breasts.
Oh my goodness. That's the wouldn't surprise me with Prince.
Right.
Okay. Right. Well, that makes sense
there
in a way.
Always sexy connotations going on with
sex was pretty much front and center.
He touched.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it.
Thanks. But for me, I don't know, is there much memorable memorable music with the band?
No. Six? I think there was just the one song.
Nasty Girl?
Nasty Girl.
Yeah.
Or something. Because I think that Vanity wasn't, I don't think she ever set out to be a singer, a recording star. Mm-hmm. I think she was, because of Prince, I think she was the accidental pop star.
Yeah.
Or musician.
Yeah, and Vanity 6 didn't make too many albums, I think, just a couple. And then Apollonia kind of took over, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Apollonia 6, Vanity 6. So yeah. I think Apollonia was just the last minute fill-in for Vanity after
Poor Man's Vanity.
If you will.
Yes, I will. Yeah, but for me, I look at Vanity the same way I look at Elvis. You know, with Elvis, it wasn't about the music. It was about the movies.
It was the movies.
Yeah. He made such great movies, and so did she. And,
she made some great movies. Oh. Well, she sort of ran the full gamut of movies.
Yeah.
From the sublime to the ridiculous.
From the blockbuster to the straight to video.
Yeah.
And, you know, we took it upon ourselves to watch every single Vanity movie ever made.
Well,
and we,
that was your gig.
Yeah, we accomplished this goal.
You gave it a name.
It was a Vanity Project. And
and it still is.
Yeah, just this year we fulfilled that goal. And I'm pretty proud of that because I think more people have walked on the moon than have seen every single Vanity movie. So we can be proud of that, I think.
I'm proud.
I think there's only two people in the whole world and they're here in Studio 8 today.
I'm taking that to the grave, man.
Yeah, that's, you know, they can't take that away from you. So, as you said, the movies run the gamut. They're all spectacular, but...
I think we should start at the beginning if we're going to list the movies.
Let's go. Let's... now, this is before the AMAs in 1980.
Yeah.
Her first movie was something called Klondike Fever, which is one of those Canadian movies, you know, tax shelter movies, I guess.
Oh.
Although it did have Rod Steiger in it.
Rod Steiger.
Set in...
They needed some talent.
Yeah. The Klondike of the... You know, Gold Rush. It was based on the writings of Jack London.
No, I think it was based on the writings of Jack Lemmon.
Or Julie London.
Oh, okay. Something one of those like three.
One
anyway.
Of those three.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's listed as an uncredited background dancer.
Well, I think that's all true.
Yeah.
Because didn't we go over that movie with a fine tooth comb?
We did. We went frame by frame.
Electron microscope.
Frame by frame. And I think we eventually spotted what we thought was Vanity in some kind of a can-can outfit.
It was basically a silhouette.
Yeah.
And so...
I think it was when she turned around and kind of lifted her dress up.
Yep.
And then that's when we knew.
Yeah.
That's Vanity.
Yeah. We know her posture.
Yeah. Well, we know her posterior. And that's a good way of starting a career, though, as, you know...
Dip your toe in the water.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way you want to start your career, isn't it?
I do. I want to be an uncredited background dancer.
There's still time.
It's a little late. But,
well, no. So after that...
But I don't think I'll be in Klondike Annie.
No, Klondike Fever.
Oh, sorry.
The next movie was a horror movie by the name of Terror Train.
Oh, Terror Train.
Also a Canadian movie, but this one featured...
well, it had a big name.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
That's right. The original... Scream Queen.
I think so.
This is before...
Prom Night?
Oh, you brought it up. I know you've got a story about Prom Night.
My old high school that I went to.
Yeah.
When I returned there in the summer,
mm-hmm.
maybe it was 1979 or something like that, and unbeknownst to me, there was a movie shoot going on, and this cute girl comes walking down the hall, and I smile at her, and she scowled at me.
She scowled?
Yeah.
And that was?
Jamie Lee Curtis. None other than.
She seems so nice to her, her public persona.
I think it was just a natural reaction to a creepy guy.
What did you say to her?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, man.
I was just relying on my animal magnetism.
Thank God you never met Vanity, and she gave you that reaction. That
oh, I just would have snuffed it. I would have snuffed it a long time ago, if that's the deal.
Yeah, so does she die? I think she dies.
She probably did. She died in so many movies.
She died a lot in her movies, yeah.
Terrible.
After that, we've got That still in 1980, big year for her.
Yeah, yeah.
Tanya's
yeah.
Island.
Oh, well, now that was, that really gave us the true vanity. And yeah. and not just little bits of it.
A lot of vanity.
Bits of her.
Yeah, yeah. a lot of vanity yeah. in that movie.
Yeah.
She that, played Tanya.
Yeah.
Tanya.
Oddly
Tanya.
Enough. Yeah. Coincidentally?
Yeah.
I think that movie was about nudity set in a lush tropical well, location.
I was about to go into, you know, the plot description of this movie, but I don't even think there is one. I mean, it's just so...
I think the plot is nudity.
Yeah.
And an amorous ape.
An ape man.
Yeah.
Who's sort of possessive of vanity and... Yeah.
And I think that she responds to
yeah, when they're on the island.
Yeah.
But then they
it
end
was
up
a
back...
slow burn.
Back in the city all of a sudden.
Oh, well, now that's the funny thing about this movie is that there's a big chunk taken out of it, like half an hour's worth or something. I don't know if it was just my copy.
They just ran out of money, I think.
Maybe.
And
or they ran out of plot.
Right. And so it is a bit difficult to follow.
Yeah, but we watched it.
We watched it.
And I think we enjoyed it.
We did. Immensely.
It was good.
I remember a lot of mangoes being thrown at Vanity.
I think I brought mangoes to that movie.
I think so. Or maybe it was coconuts. I can't remember.
But it was appropriate, whatever yeah. it was. So
then she waited 5 more years for her, 5 long years for her next movie. But
well,
it was...
she got to be choosy
yeah.
after Tanya's Island.
Yeah. The next one was one of the best, I think. One of your favorites, anyway.
Oh.
Talking about The Last Dragon.
Oh, The Last Dragon.
Also known as Berry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
Wow.
Yeah, that Berry Gordy, Mr. Motown.
Fantastic movie.
Oh, it's got a lot of, it's appropriate that Vanity's in this movie, I think.
Well, I think in order to be in that movie, you had to have a one-word name.
That's right. Because who was the...
Vanity, Tamac.
What did you say? Tamac.
Tamac. Don't you know Tamac?
Whatever happened to Tamac?
I don't know, but in there alongside Madonna and Feist.
Wow, Madonna's in that.
Yep. Topol.
The Smoker's Tooth Polish?
No.
Oh, right. Fiddler on the Roof. Okay, got it.
Charo,
yeah.
Liberace. Yeah.
Wow, what an all-star cast.
And special guest star, Trini Lopez.
Oh, she was the only two-word exception.
No, I just threw that in.
Oh, you just like saying that.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, this was what was billed as a martial arts musical.
Right, which is an entirely new genre, I think.
Can you have a genre if there's only one movie in the genre?
We'll find out.
Has there been another martial arts musical?
No.
I don't think so.
No. I think they blazed a trail.
Yeah.
They blazed a trail, and then the trail got grown over very quickly.
Yeah. So. And it's a great movie. I mean...
It is a great movie.
Great martial arts. Great singing.
Great singing.
You got one of the Cosby kids in there?
Yep. Who else? Oh, and a very young William H. Macy an outstanding 8-ball jacket.
That was a great jacket.
Come on.
That was probably one of his first film roles.
And his first 8-ball jacket.
I don't know about that, but it certainly featured prominently in the movie.
Yep.
So the next one is one of my favorites, Never Too Young to Die.
Oh. Are we talking about 1986 or so?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Get me Stargrove! I want Stargrove!
Well, there's only one performer in the whole universe that could pull off that line.
Yeah, that's Gene Simmons as the gender-fluid supervillain, Velvet Von Ragnar, who later in the movie sings a great song called It Takes a Man Like Me to be a woman like me.
There's a lot of talent mm-hmm. in that movie.
Yeah, and we got in the main role
as Lance Stargrove.
Lance Stargrove. What a great name.
Gymnast Lance Stargrove.
That's right.
John Stamos.
I forgot he was a gymnast.
Fantastic.
This movie would pair well with Jim Catta, with Kurt Thomas.
Yeah.
That'd be a good double feature.
Because it's a gymnastic musical.
Yeah, that's right. Another genre.
And Gene Simmons, of course.
Gene Simmons,
right?
And we talked earlier about a James Bond.
Oh, the James Bond tie-in was one-time James Bond.
That's right.
Actor
George Lazenby.
Yeah.
Plays Stargrove's father.
Right.
Stargrove Sr. Right. Who is big, you know, he's a spy. But
a closet spy.
Closet spy. Yeah. Because I don't think Stamos knows about it. And he's
killed. He didn't have the stamina. No.
He's killed by Gene Simmons.
Oh, his father is. Yeah. George.
And just as he's performing.
Like a real big flip on the trampoline.
Yeah. And he knows something is amiss.
Yeah.
He falls down, I think.
Yeah, yeah. He
into the
he
netting.
He blows it.
Yeah.
He sort of hurts himself a little bit because it's this cosmic thing that happened.
Yeah. So he finds out that his dad is dead and he is a spy and he's inherited this farm with all these super gadgets in it. And who, lo and behold.
Not just gadgets.
But vanity. Gidget.
Gadget grows
the
up.
The original Gidget.
As a Denja Deering?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Who was also a spy.
Well, she's a kick-ass spy.
Yeah. And they're going to get their revenge on Gene Simmons. They have to avenge, he has to avenge his father's death. It's like Hamlet. It's based a lot of similarities.
It's like a Greek tragedy?
Yeah.
No. It is. It's more like Hamlet.
So that was that. And in the same year.
But not Harry Hamlet.
Not Harry Hamlet?
No. And by the way, that might have been Vanity's zenith.
Yeah,
that movie.
So.
I think she just, you know, at her absolute rock and roll peak.
Yeah.
And the teased hair between her and John Stamos.
Let's not forget Gene Simmons.
And Gene Simmons, I think they, I'd be hard pressed to pick a winner. So,
mm-hmm. So she was on a roll. And then after that, she did 52 Pickup.
Oh, that's a little known movie, but she still
But directed by a big time director, John Frankenheimer. Who directed
I think that's Frankenheimer. But yeah, yeah, yeah. Great movie. Great director.
Also directed one of your favorite movies.
Oh, Grand Prix.
Yeah.
My gosh. I think that's my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, so she was in good hands. And also starring Roy Scheider.
And Anne Margaret.
Anne Margaret. There's your Elvis connection.
Yeah. And did that have the poor man's Gary Busey in it?
No, I think that was later on.
Oh, later. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Although it may have had a knockoff of the poor man's Gary Busey.
Wow.
In it.
It blew my mind.
If you get into, you know, degrees of separation and that sort of thing.
Yeah. And then 1987, Deadly Illusion. I don't remember much about that.
No, that was sort of forgettable. I think that was a step back for her.
Yeah. But then 1988, she bounces back big time.
Big time.
Action Jackson.
Action Jackson. Come on.
Co-starring with the late, great Carl Weathers, who's sort of like a disgraced cop or something, or a demoted cop?
Yeah, a demoted cop.
Yeah.
And demoted because of baddie Craig T. Nelson.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
In the movie.
In that.
And the baddie has a wife, and it's Sharon Stone.
Right. Yeah. This is before Basic Instinct.
There's really some star power in this movie.
Oh, gosh.
All it's missing is Harry Giardino.
Does she die in that one?
Or does she survive? No. She kicks her heroin habit.
Oh, that's right. Wow.
In about 5 minutes flat.
Well,
which sort of strains credibility, but anyway. Gosh. But it's a great movie.
It is.
And she's...
It's nice when Vanity survives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She had a great part in that.
Yeah.
You know, we saw a lot of Vanity.
Mm-hmm.
And she got to stretch her singing chops a little bit in the movie as well.
I think that there's a scene, there's a screenshot of that on the Vanity 6 bill, I believe.
I think there is.
Yeah.
Because she's sort of a torch singer.
Yeah.
But she's done that before.
So now we're into the 90s, 1991, Neon City, where the girls are pretty. It was kind of like a post-apocalyptic kind of Mad Max.
Sci-fi. It's the poor man's Mad Max, I think. Yeah,
but Lyle Alzado is in it, who's the poor man's Mel Gibson, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I've often said that.
Yeah, and the guy who played Les Nessman on WKRP is in it.
Yeah, sort of a funny placing there, funny casting, because I seem to recall that during the movie we wanted Les Nessman And more vanity.
Yeah.
So that's right. Yeah.
And then anyway. Then the movies start to really...
There was a turn.
Yeah, the South Beach. I think that has the...
That had the poor man's Gary Busey?
Yeah, and it also spawned a best-selling diet as well. Is there a connection? I don't know.
Yeah, but Vandy wasn't interested in dieting in those days, so it's...
No, she had the sort of the natural drug diet kind of...
Yeah, but maybe by then the natural drug diet wasn't working anymore, or maybe mm-hmm. she was off the drugs.
Yeah.
Because she was having some health problems, right?
So after that, there's Da Vinci's War, where she played Lupe.
Oh,
kind of
Lupe.
A wholesome character, which was
wholesome.
Where she kind of went in that direction a little
bit.
Yeah,
very virtuous, very, you know, one-man woman kind of girl.
She had it.
Dressing sensibly.
Yeah, she was the love interest of my favorite Travolta, I think Joey Travolta.
he was the only Travolta worth mentioning.
Worth mentioning, yeah.
Yeah.
He's, I think he's an ex-cop who has to avenge his...
his brother?
Sister.
Oh, sorry.
Or was it Gene Simmons?
I don't know.
Maybe that's why I'm having trouble with that.
I guess I'm not watching these movies closely enough.
Oh, well, you know.
When there's no nudity.
No, exactly. And at that point in her life.
I tend to drift.
Yeah. And then though it was filmed in 1993, but it didn't come out till 1997, always a good sign, was Kiss of Death.
Oh, speaking of nudity.
Yeah, her final. But it was not vanity nudity.
No.
We're talking...
I think she was the only one in the movie who wasn't nude.
That's right. They had... It was... who was it again?
Oh, Daniel McVicker.
Well, he wasn't...
So, anyway.
But
she trumped him in the... as far as billing goes.
Yeah.
She got top billing.
But his... the main female character is played by Christy...
Christy Harris or something?
Who was topless a lot.
Oh, everyone was topless.
Every so often they had to, when the plot started getting a little out of control.
I think about every 3 minutes or so.
They had to recalibrate, get in a nude scene.
There was nudity. I think that was done on purpose because the plot line was so complex and so fast moving that they wanted to make sure that the viewers were riveted.
Right.
I mean, at all times, you know, so.
And there was that Al Capone connection.
Oh, my gosh. You know, the climactic ending will not disappoint, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, and she plays kind of, again, she's the woman scorned in this movie.
Oh, yeah, but she's almost matronly in this movie.
But like 10 years previous, she would have been playing the Christy Hare.
The nude role.
Yeah, the nude role, as they say. Yeah, but by this point in her life, though, she is done with that whole scene. And she
is.
Because she's found Jesus.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think shortly after she renounced her vanity persona.
Yeah, went back to her original name, I think. Became like a preacher, I think.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know.
It's all very interesting.
Yeah.
And maybe not entirely beneficial either.
No.
Because don't you think that she did much better on a steady diet of sex and drugs and rock and roll?
So you're saying the drugs didn't kill her.
It was the wholesomeness, or I don't know, the goodness.
The lack of drugs, in other words. Wow.
The lack of fun.
Interesting theory.
Yeah. The withdrawing of her original lifestyle.
Right.
She got used to that.
Yeah.
Her body got used to it.
That's right.
So, and it's just my theory.
It rejected it. It was almost like rejecting an organ. It rejected
tissue
this.
Rejection.
Yeah. It's like I reject this holy.
Yeah.
Preaching business.
Yeah. I honestly think so.
Well, that makes sense to me.
But it's sad. It's sad. But
it is.
But you know what? As they say, we'll always have the movies.
Exactly. They can't take that away from us.
They can't. They can't.
And we're going to start another project where we're going to start it into our TV work, but that's another.
Wow.
That's a big.
That's a big.
Thank God for YouTube on that one because there's no DVDs of that baby.
Yeah. That Miami Vice episode with the sped up soundtrack
was great because,
very entertaining.
Don Johnson's voice is already kind of sped up as it is.
Yeah, but he sounded like a chipmunk.
Yeah,
here, so
it wasn't Melanie Griffith, the future Mrs. Don Johnson.
She's got a pretty high voice too.
Yeah, but I think Vanity dies in that episode, doesn't she?
She always dies.
Oh God,
she always dies. But
so she died in real life in 2016.
That's the Vanity movie thing, and but. You know, like I say, Purple Rain would have been just spectacular with her in it. And I guess we can't go back, but we can dream.
We can. we can imagine. Yeah, so the Bank of Canada, like a very conservative institution, mind you, decides they're going to commemorate the life of Vanity with this Vanity 6 bill. And again, it's on our website if you want to look at it. We can sort of look at it together, and you can't really see that. Your eyes are so bad.
Mine are bad, but I can feel it.
You can feel Vanity's sensuality,
her
I think.
Presence. It just oozes out of that specially coated paper.
That's right. And she's kind of licking her lips in the main photo on the front.
Yeah.
And there's her singing in Action Jackson, I think.
Yeah.
And then there's a little poster of Never Too Young to Die.
It's all perfect.
A lot of sixes on it, Vanity Six right on it. And you turn it over and
Niagara
you've got
Falls.
Beautiful Niagara Falls.
Fantastic.
Which has never been featured on a bill before, which is a high time, Niagara Falls, Ontario.
Sure.
And you've got...
And she's one of the wonders of the world as well.
Yes, the natural wonders.
Yeah.
And then you've got The Last Dragon, of course. And then right in the corner, you've got the love triangle, the... Rick James, Vanity, and Prince.
The Holy Trilogy.
Or the Holy Trinity.
Or Trinity. Yeah. Or Trinity.
Trinity. That's a new word. I like
well,
that.
Well, it's like trilogy and energy and Tripoli all combined, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So three cheers for that.
Yeah. They tried to make it work, but it didn't really go over well, and people didn't know what to make of it.
Yeah.
But I think it would have been great. You know, could you imagine it's like... Hey, do you got a six? I need a six for this, you know? Hand me a six.
Gosh. Yeah. Yeah. It's a total hedge against inflation.
Yeah.
It's 20% more than a $5 bill.
Because let's say you're buying a pizza slice.
Oh, and it's more than you expect.
Yeah. It's five something and you're
five
like
and
digging
change.
Into your pocket for change. And
come on. But wait a minute.
Throw down a six.
I got
a six.
I got this. I got this taken care of.
Yeah. But so. They are still legal tender if you can, once in a while you come across one.
You know, I got a whole stack of them.
Yeah.
It's a small stack, but it's a first printing, never been in circulation stack of Vanity Sixes. And I take my life into my hands when I say this.
Yeah, well, don't give out your address.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you don't want to.
But if any viewers want my address, I'll still give it out.
Yeah, so it was, like I said, it was they tried some test markets. I think Newfoundland was a big one.
Well, I think that was a big mistake.
Yeah, I mean, I love Newfoundland, but it's not exactly vanity country. And some people liked it, though, but some people didn't care for it. I think we've got a clip of... some
responses.
Newfoundlanders, reaction to the bill. So why don't we play that right now?
Let's do it.
Well, it's not too bad. I think it's pretty good.
I don't like it. The symbolism is grand, but it's just not eye-catching.
I like it. I think it's nice.
Yeah, so I think you're right. They would have been better off with some maybe more cosmopolitan centers or...
I think so.
Or at least some more sinful areas.
More vanity-friendly
centers.
But it's okay. It's good.
Yeah.
It's still good. We've got the bill.
We've got the movies.
It's not all bad.
No. I mean...
You know, we hold on to what we hold on to.
Wow. Very profound.
Thanks.
Yeah. And that, you know, the pictures in this vanity, like the hair and the everything is just... of its time, you know.
It's a period piece.
You look at the...
As they say.
Look at Prince and... I don't know who has more mascara on...
Oh, well.
In his picture. Well, Prince or Vanity?
Let's throw in Sheila E.
Oh, Sheila E., another Prince protege.
Protege. And maybe the closest thing in the mid-80s that you could get to Vanity.
Yeah, without being Vanity.
Without being Vanity.
Yeah. But she was quite a talented
musician. She was a bona fide musician, I think. Did you ever see her wearing those crazy high-heeled boots that came up to her thighs?
And, yeah.
And while playing stand-up drums?
Yeah.
Kicking the cymbals?
Yeah. Yeah.
And everything. It was a great show. Fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, the makeup, the clothing, the mascara, it's astounding. It's like, hey, folks, Maybelline just called. They're running out of mascara.
Oh, well, the jerk store just called and they're running out of you.
I guess that's true. What else can we say about Vanity?
I don't know. I think the movies speak for themselves. We're going to put some trailers up on the website.
Okay.
And I would recommend that you check those out and get into some of the, buy some of these DVDs and these Blu-rays and...
Yeah.
And
well, you still can.
Well, you still can, yeah. And, you know, get to know Vanity as we know her and love her. And, yeah, hopefully the young people will get into it because, you know, it's sad to say they don't teach this stuff in school.
Do you think that they should make a commemorative bill for Luba?
Whoa.
Canada's other national treasure?
Yeah, how would that work? With the hot air balloons maybe on them?
The hot air balloons.
Mm-hmm.
So how could, I don't know what the denomination would be.
Well, maybe like the balloons, it could go like, it could fluctuate.
It could float up or down?
Yeah.
I
depending
like
on inflation.
Yeah. Maybe with a starting point of 99.
Oh, like because of...
99 Luftballons.
Nina.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
And Nina almost sounds like Luba.
Yeah. But who had the hairier armpits? That's what I'm talking about. I bet you Luba probably kept it pretty clean down there.
Probably.
Yeah.
But she was great.
Yeah, she was.
And continues to be a Canadian staple.
That's
well,
right.
Living in Canada.
And a survivor.
And a survivor. You know, like Vandy, I think, bolted to Hollywood first chance she could get.
Yeah.
Or somewhere. Mm-hmm. Where there were swimming pools and movie stars and, you know, promises of and, greatness.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it.
Okay. Okay. That was meaty.
That was meaty. It was a good start, I think, to one of the nuggets we talked about in the intro episode.
Yeah.
That's a good nugget. Like, I mean,
it's
I'm
a
sure,
purple nugget.
Yeah. Not many people probably even know that such a bill even exists.
It's keep your eye peeled.
Keep your eyes peeled.
And if you get one, I say hold on to it. I think you would agree.
Yeah. It's sad, though, that they never, it never took off. You know, I'd rather have Vanity in my pocket than Wilfrid Laurier. But we're stuck with Laurier, right? Okay. Well, on that note.
Love it.
On that bank note. we should, we'll, yeah. Thank Sean Bokenkamp for coming up with the theme music.
Yeah, of which there will be more.
Yeah.
Because we're cueing the outro as we speak.
Oh my goodness. That is a good segue.
So hold on to your socks.
Yeah. And we'll see you next time on Romper Ruminations.
And thank you.
Yeah. So bye for now.
Good night. Thank you.